That is near you in the pew, and to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It will be towards the back if you are using a paper Bible. Towards the back. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Many Gifts, One Spirit, Discerning Your Calling from God. You're calling from God. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a calling from God. And the first calling is, come follow me. It is the call to relationship with Christ. It is the call to salvation. You also have another come follow me call from Jesus, and it is the call to relationship with others. It is the call to serve. So you have a mission from God. You have a purpose from God. And so the come follow me, which is call to relationship with God, and come follow me, which is the call to relationship with others. You have a mission from God. So turn to your neighbor and say, you have a mission from God. That's right. You have a mission from God. You do, you do, you do. And so God gives us spiritual gifts in order to help us figure out our calling and to help us fulfill our calling. And spiritual gifts are these divine enablements. They are like superpowers. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and say, you have superpowers. That's right. And God, through the Holy Spirit, arranges these spiritual gifts, arranges these superpowers, so that we work together, and we work together for good. We work together for good, and we work together for the glory of God. And so that's what spiritual gifts are about. And so Paul, in order to help us better understand these spiritual gifts and how they work together, gave us a metaphor. And the metaphor is a body with many members. Okay? So if we think about our bodies, there's lots of different parts, lots of different things doing different things, working together. And we all know what happens when they don't work together well, right? And so we want them working together well. And so when I think about a body with many parts, with many members, the first thing that came to mind for me was Mr. Potato Head. Whoop. Okay, Mr. Potato Head. Now, my Mr. Potato Head has a crown on because we are all children of the king, so we all get crowns. There we go. And so, Mr. Potato Head. So, the feet. So, we could think of the feet as the maybe the spiritual gift of apostleship. Apostleship is the divine enablement to start new things. Okay, and so all of the apostles went out and they started churches, and folks with the gift of apostleship today go out and start new things. So maybe that's the feet. The ear, we'll say one of the ears, is faith. You know, we come to faith by hearing, the scripture tells us. And some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, faith, we all have faith if we're followers of Jesus. Yes, we all have placed our trust in Jesus, we all have faith. But some folks have an extra divine enablement of faith, which is like super confidence in God. Super, you know, it's the person who says, we can do it, God is with us. And so, yes, so that's the spiritual gift of faith. So the next we'll say is mercy. The other ear can be mercy. And mercy is the divine enablement to be around people who are in pain. And so if there's trouble, a person with a gift of mercy runs towards the trouble to be helpful. And most often, gifts of mercy, folks who have that are fantastic listeners. They just can really sit with a person and be with a person and create space for God and the person through the gift of listening. So we'll say the other ear is mercy for right now. We'll say the eyes are wisdom. Okay, wisdom, the divine enablement to see things that others may not be able to see, like consequences of choices, and the ability to apply the scripture to very practical situations is the gift of wisdom. So there we go, gift of wisdom. Knows, we're going to say knows is discernment. Okay. The gift of discernment is this additional divine enablement to tell good from evil and right from wrong and truth from falsehood. And folks with this gift, just they know. They can just smell it. Something's not right. Divine enablement. Discernment. Mouth. We're going to say mouth is the gift of prophecy. This is the ability to speak truth to power. Think Old Testament prophet, think John the Baptist, you know, gift of prophecy. We'll give a hand. Okay, so here's a hand. And we'll say this is the gift of helps. Helps is little things done with great love. Yesterday was Ed's retirement ceremony, and we are just a few minutes before the retirement ceremony, and I realized I had not folded the programs for Ed's retirement ceremony, and they were still in the office, and so I'm like, help! And all these people come running to help, you know, fold the programs and stuff the inserts and all of that, all these wonderful folks with the gift of help. Helps. It was fantastic, and I really needed the help. And so we have another hand. Let's say this one is the gift of teaching. Okay. You've probably had teachers, and they were fantastic teachers, and they really helped you understand things. And then you probably had teachers, and you thought, why are you teaching? Right? Spiritual divine enablement. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of study and all of that, but there is also a divine enablement to teaching. Okay, so we could talk about many more parts and many more gifts because there's probably 30-something spiritual gifts out there, but you get the idea, right? Each spiritual gift does its thing, works together for the glory of God and the common good. That's the idea of being one body, many members, of being the body of Christ. So let's look at our scripture passage for today, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in the second half of this passage, and we're going to begin at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Okay, so this half of the room, I want you to count all the times in verses 12, 13, and 14 that you see the word one. Okay, this side of the room. This side of the room, I want you to count all the times that you see the word all. Okay, all the times that you see the word all. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. Do 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 do. There you go. Okay, this side of the room. How are we doing? How many times did you see the word one? Six. You're exactly right. Yes, it is six times. Well done. This side of the room, how many times did you see the word all? There are three. Well done. Exactly right. And so, three verses, and we see the word one used six times and the word all used three times. It must be important if it's repeated that much. And so this idea of being one body, many members, that unity is incredibly important. It is about us all working together for good. We are better together. And so all the spiritual gifts are valuable. All the spiritual gifts are needed. And so that makes all the people valuable, makes all the people needed. And this is so powerful, and this is so important. It breaks down all the things that divide us. And it gives a couple examples in the passage. It talks about Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And so it talks about different racial groups. It talks about socioeconomic groups. You could take that on into any other labeling the world could give us that makes us divided. And it's like, no, we are one in Christ. We are one in the Spirit. We need all the spiritual gifts. We need all the people working together for the glory of God and for the common good. If you jump back to verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each and every person has spiritual gifts. Each and every person is given the gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good. So we're all needed. But of course, it doesn't go that way, right? We take the good gift of God and we twist it into something it was never meant to be. And so in this instance, verses 15 through 19, you have folks not valuing their spiritual gift. And they are self-eliminating. They are taking themselves out of the body, like take an ear out. They're taking themselves out of the body. And they're saying, oh, not needed. Okay, let's look. Verse 15. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Okay, so I'm not an eye, I don't belong, right? No. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? That's like a monster from a horror movie, right? You know, the giant eye, you know. No, no. So, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Many members, yet one body. So when I was first, fresh out of seminary, what they do for all the new pastors is they have this program, which is a residence in ministry program. It's, you know, kind of like a residency for medical folk. And the new pastors go to these workshops throughout, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. And we have mentors assigned to us and all of those good things. Because we need it. We're newbies. You know, we don't know what we're doing. And so I went to, one of my very first workshops. And at this workshop, we had to do a spiritual gifts inventory. We had to, you know, we had to figure out what our spiritual gifts were. I was already serving a church. I was already a pastor. I had never done a spiritual gifts inventory. So I do my homework and I come with my spiritual gifts inventory. And I am thinking, I have made a horrible mistake. I should not be a pastor. You know, when I'm sitting in this room full of newbie pastors, I have made a horrible mistake. I do not have any of the spiritual gifts that a pastor would have. You know, I had this false idea that there was this perfect gift mix that every pastor probably had, and I didn't have it. Pastors probably have the gift of leadership. They are probably have the gift of prophecy, you know, speak truth to power. They probably have the gift of shepherding, which is, you know, able to gather the flock and care for the flock and keep the flock together. I mean, that's really important. They probably have the gift of evangelism. Right? It's this natural ability to talk to people about Jesus and to bring them to faith. And I didn't have any of those gifts. Not a one. So what did I have? Here's my gift mix. Administration. Oh boy, administration. But then I realized what administration really was. I thought administration was like, I'm good at pushing paper. Mm-mm. Administration literally means to pilot the ship. So it's about strategy. I know how to get us from here to here. That's my gift. Spiritual gift, teaching. You know that. It's what I do. Wisdom is my gift mix. And mercy. I'm really good with people in pain. I'm really good in a crisis. Those were my mix. That was my mix. And I'm thinking, what have I done? You know, we're in debt up to our eyeballs, and I, you know, took my family out of state to get the seminary degree. I shouldn't be a pastor. And then the very, very wise person that was leading this workshop said, everyone in this room is called to be a pastor, and everyone in this room has a different gift mix. And I was like, what? Yes, everybody has a different gift mix. You will lead your flock. You will answer your call in the way that you are wired. You will bring your gifts to being a pastor. And it is one body, many members. And it's not about you doing it by yourself. It's not about solo heroic leadership. It's about us doing it together. And so we value each other's gifts, and we do it together. That's how we make disciples. That's how we transform the world. That's how we grow in grace. That's how we do it, together. And so there's this invitation for you to now figure out what your spiritual gifts are. You can take one of those little cards off the back of the clipboard, and you can figure out, we can help you figure out what your spiritual gifts are. And then we put it together with other things that are going on in your life to discern your call for this season of your life that you're in right now. And so God's wired you and given you a mission, and it's good. So don't self-eliminate because, well, I don't have the gift of yada yada. Mm-mm. Nope. God made you you, and you're important, and you're needed. Okay, let's look at the other way that that folks twist the gifts. They don't value others because of whatever gift they have. So we don't value ourselves. That's one exclusion. Another is we don't value others and we exclude people. Neither of them are right. Okay, so look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, okay, so we're going to take out the eyes. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, right? It doesn't make any sense. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members, we treat with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. Again, this calling to unity and valuing one another. No dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Have you ever had one part of your body suffering and you're suffering all over? Yep. Yep. It makes total sense. We suffer together and we celebrate together. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the family of God. One body, many members. Nadia Boltz-Weber is an ordained clergy person in the Lutheran side of the family tree. She's a best-selling author, and she said this. This was part of a sermon called A Sermon on Spiritual Gifts, Which Unfairly Doesn't Include Snarkiness. This ended up being one of the more difficult weeks in recent memory, and I found myself having no choice but to rely on the prayers and faith and wisdom and compassion of those brothers and sisters in Christ whom God has put in my life, because frankly, I was tapped out. Which is hard because I'd so rather have all the gifts to myself and not have to rely on others. But when I feel like a failure on my part, that I don't have the faith or the compassion or the prayer life or wisdom that I need, I just have to remember that the only one real failure is when I fail to recognize that I do actually have all the faith and compassion and prayer and wisdom I need. It's just that somebody else in my life is holding it for me. See, I believe that it is God's intention that we need each other, not in a creepy, codependent, having no boundaries type of way, but in a bearing the face of Christ kind of way. Because when I cannot see goodness, when I cannot see hope or beauty or the face of Christ in my own heart, in my own life, and through my own eyes, I need you to do it for me. This is why we are part of the body. We need each other. We value each other. We can't do it alone. We can't. We weren't designed to do it alone. And so, this is your invitation to figure out your spiritual gifts and to know how valuable you are and how needed you are, and to know that God has a purpose for you to bring glory to God and to build up others. That is your purpose. And so let's read the scripture that's the theme scripture for this entire message series, which sums it all up. It should be printed in your program this morning. It'll also be on the screen. But we're encouraging you to continue to pray over this and read over this during this message series. So let's all read together 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, it is such a great grace that you offer us salvation. But even more so, you offer us the chance to join you in your saving work. You trust us that much, and you empower us that much. And so, reveal to us our spiritual gifts. Reveal to us the calling that you have placed upon our lives, so that we may fulfill it together. We may fulfill it for your glory. We may fulfill it for the common good. We may fulfill it for the building of your kingdom. Help us to know that we know that we know how valuable we are to you and how valuable we are to each other. And God, we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that all people would know their value, would know their purpose, and would know their place in your body. Thank you, Jesus.